نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، then to continue with شرح السنة of Imam al-Barbahari rahimahullah, with the explanation of Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan hafidhahullah. Then last time we had the one point, the important point, with regard to al-Qadr, pre-decreed, something that came earlier in the book. A mention of it came earlier, and again it came as point number 47, as point number 67. So from the explanation of Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan hafidhahullah, then some of the points that we had were, very briefly, that indeed al-Qadr, pre-decree, is from the pillars of Iman, or as essential matters of Iman, of true and correct faith, that we believe in pre-decree, that Allah the Most High knew and has always known everything that was ever going to occur. He's always known it, and that he wrote it down in the preserved tablet. Before the creation of the heavens and the earth, he wrote down whatever was going to occur. And then Sheikh Fawzan mentioned a point with regard to a matter that the people of knowledge discussed, which is that the matter of the Arsh, the throne, and the matter of the pen, al-Qalam, that these were the things created first, no doubt. But which was the first of the two? Was it the throne created before the pen, or the pen created before the Arsh? And as we saw, Sheikh al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, he took the view of the majority of the scholars, that we understand that the throne, the Arsh, was created before the pen, and then the pen was created and commanded to write everything that would occur. We also had the point that it is not permissible to delve deeply into pre-decree in such a manner that we start to say, why? Why is such and such going to happen? Why is such and such person going to be punished? Why is it decreed that so and so will be punished? And why is it that Allah does such and such? Why is that? And how is it that such and such is the case? Such and such is decreed. How is that the case? This is not permissible to go into pre-decree with the like of these questions. And as Sheikh al-Fawzan made clear, that a person who enters into that, he will never come to any conclusion, any result. He'll be like going into a maze, an inescapable maze or labyrinth. But further and further, he'll never get out of it. As soon as he lets himself go along that course, asking the like of those questions, he will not escape from it, at any result. Rather, what is upon the people is to perform righteous deeds and to avoid sins. And that, as occurs in the authentic narration, that each person will have that which was pre-decreed for him, made easy for him. You know, people of paradise will have the deeds of the people of paradise made easy for them. So they will perform those deeds, and then Allah will enter them into paradise. And the people of the hellfire will perform the deeds of the people of the hellfire and have them made easy for them. And then they will enter the fire. So it is not for the servants to withhold from action and just say, if I am to be from the people of paradise, then Allah will put me in paradise and there's no need for me to do any actions. And if I have been written from the people of the fire, then I can't escape it, I'll just have to go to the fire. There's no way to escape it. A false and futile approach. Likewise, Sheikh al-Fawzan mentioned that al-Qadr, pre-decree, is Allah's secret, Allah's sir. It's his secret. And therefore it cannot be reached. Can never fully comprehend pre-decree. Can't get to the bottom of it. It's Allah's secret. So therefore it's upon us to mind our own business. It's not our business to delve into it in that manner. Rather, what's upon us is to perform deeds. And that was the way of the prophets and the followers of the prophets, that they didn't involve themselves they're trying to understand how PDP works. Rather, the involvement, they engage themselves in performing righteous deeds. So upon us is not to dispute about free decree, rather we submit, we affirm it, and we have iman, true faith in it. And that we believe whatever Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed of. Anything that's authentic from Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we believe it. And that we remain silent with regard to whatever is beyond that. Then Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, he continued with what occurs here on page 362 as point number 68. As he said, rahimahullah, وَالْإِيمَانُ بِأَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أُسْرِيَ بِهِ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ وَصَارَ إِلَى الْأَرْشِ وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهَ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى ودخل الجنة واطرأ إلى النار ورأى الملائكة وسمع كلام الله عز وجل ونشرت له الأنبياء ورأى سرابقات العرش والكرسي وجميع ما في السماوات وما في الأرضين في اليقظة حمله جبريل على البراق حتى أداره في السماوات وفرضت عليه الصلوات الخمس في تلك الليلة ورجع إلى مكة ليلته وذلك قبل الهجرة. That Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, he said, and to have iman, to have true faith, that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taken by night up through the heavens, and he came to the throne, and he spoke to Allah, the Exalted and Most High, and he entered paradise, and he saw the fire, and he saw the angels, and he heard the speech of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, and the prophets were brought out for him. And he saw the drapery of the throne and the footstool and everything within the heavens and everything within the earths whilst awake. Jibreel took him upon Al-Buraq until he took him through the heavens, and the five daily prayers were made obligatory upon him that night, and he returned to Mecca that same night. And that was before the Hijrah. That was before the migration. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, he said in explanation, his saying, وَالْإِيمَانُ بِأَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أُسْرِيَ بِهِ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ. And to have iman, true faith, that Allah's Messenger, صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ, was taken by night up through the heavens. He said, this is from the mu'jizat, this is from the miracles of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So a part of having iman in the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to have iman in his miracles, which prove the truthfulness of his messengership sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the greatest of his miracles are the Qur'an and the Sunnah. This is the greatest of the miracles of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and is the miracle which will remain until the hour is established. The book and the Sunnah that will remain until the last hour. The greatest miracle given to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, and likewise from his miracles sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, is the night journey and the ascent through the heavens. Al-Isra, the word al-Isra the night journey is to make a journey by night. And the word al-mi'raj is as-su'ud, is to ascend. Al-mi'raj means to ascend. And he was taken on a journey by night from the sacred mosque in Mecca to the farthest mosque, Al-Masjid al-Aqsa, in Palestine, in a single night, in the company of Jibreel alayhi salam. And he was taken up through the heavens from Jerusalem. And how he was taken in a single night from Mecca to Jerusalem and then taken up through the heavens and then descended from the heavens and then returned to Mecca in a single night. How did this occur? He said this was through the ability of Allah, the Majestic and Most High, which is such that nothing can render it incapable. It was not by his own ability, alayhi salatu wassalam. It was not done by the ability, capacity of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Rather, it came about through the ability of Allah, which is such that nothing can render it incapable. Al-Buraq was brought to him, and it is an animal which moves very fast. Al-Buraq is the name of an animal, this animal, particular animal, which moves very fast. Its pace, its step, from one step to the next, is as far as it can see. If one takes one step, the next step will be as far away as it can see in the distance. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam rode it, and Jibreel accompanied him to Bayt al-Maqdis, to Jerusalem. This is the Isra, this is the night journey. In the journey from Mecca to Jerusalem, that is the part of what happened called al-Isra, a night journey. From Mecca to Jerusalem. And as for al-Mi'raj, the ascent, then he was taken up from Jerusalem to the heavens. And he passed beyond the seven levels and reached Sidratul Muntaha. He reached the farthest low tree. And he heard the speech of Allah, the Perfect and Most High. And he commanded him with the salat, with the prayer. And on this night, he saw paradise and the fire. And on this night, he saw the messengers and the prophets in the heavens. And Allah gathered them together for him, and he led them in prayer, to show, to make manifest, his virtue over them. And Allah made obligatory upon him the five daily prayers whilst he was in the heavens. Then he, alayhi salatu wassalam, descended to Jerusalem. Then he went from Jerusalem to Mecca in a single night. And he entered the morning in Mecca, alayhi salatu wassalam. And the Isra and the Mi'raj, the night journey and the ascent, occurred with his body and his soul. And they mention, as a footnote here, with regard to this matter, the matter that the night journey and the ascent, the Isra and the Mi'raj, occurred bodily. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with his body and his soul together. They refer in the footnote, you can refer to the tafsir of Ibn Kathir and Fath al-Bari of Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar and Sharh al-Aqidah al-Tahawiyyah of Ibn Abi al-Izz. Sheikh Fawzan continued, and it was not just with his soul alone as is said by some of those deniers, or some of those who find this matter to be something strange, and who say that he was taken on the night journey with his soul, but not his body. You know, they say his body remained in Mecca, just his soul went on this journey. Then Sheikh Fawzan said, and the Isra, the night journey, was not a dream. Rather, it was whilst awake. It occurred whilst he was awake. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was taken whilst on the night journey, whilst awake. And it was not a dream. And it is a miracle from his, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, miracles. He, the Most High, said, سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله. The ayah from Surah Al-Isra, 17th Surah, the first ayah, the beginning of the ayah with the explanation, glorified and perfect is he who took his servant by night from the sacred mosque to the farthest mosque, the area around which we have blessed. Sheikh Fawzan mentioned the question, for what purpose? And quotes the continuation of the ayah, لِنُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, with the explanation, to show him our signs. Indeed, he, Allah, is the all-hearing, the all-seeing. Surah Al-Isra, as we said, the 17th Surah, Ayah 1. Sheikh Fawzan said, and he saw on this night amazing things, just as he, the Most High, said, لَقَدْ رَأَى مِنْ آيَاتِ رَبِّهِ الْكُبْرَى, Surah Al-Najm, the 53rd Surah, Ayah 18, with the explanation. He, referring to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he certainly saw some of the greatest signs of his Lord. And it occurs in Surah Al-Isra that he said, لِنُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا, same ayah we had just before, with the explanation, to show him from our signs. So he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saw from the signs of Allah on this blessed journey that which he saw. So it is obligatory upon the Muslim to have iman in that, true faith in that, and to believe in it, and that he should not have the slightest doubt about it. And whoever denies it, he is a disbeliever, a kafir, since he is denying the truth of what has been said by Allah, and denying the truth of what has been said by the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and denying the consensus, the ijma' of the Muslims. He said, he's saying, وَدَخَلَ الْجَنَّةَ وَطَلَعَ إِلَى النَّارِ, and he entered paradise and he saw the fire. Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, he entered paradise, he entered Jannah, and he saw the bliss that was within it, and he saw the fire, and he saw the torment that there is within it, because Allah wished to show him his signs. He wished to show him from his signs. He's saying, wara al-malaika, and he saw the angels. Sheikh Fawzan said, he saw Jibreel in his angelic form, his true normal angelic form, having 360 wings, each wing filling the whole horizon. So an angel, his creation is tremendous, his size is tremendous, and Jibreel is the greatest one of the angels and the noblest one of the angels, alayhi salatu wassalam. So he saw the angels, and he saw the messengers, the Rusul, and they are deceased. Allah gathered them for him. And Allah has full ability over everything. He's saying, وَرَأَى صُرَادِقَاتِ الْعَرْشِ وَالْكُرْسِيَّ. And he saw the drapery of the throne, the arsh, and the kursi, the footstool. Shaykh Bazan said, and he saw what was around the arsh, around the throne, and what was around the kursi, the footstool. And they are two tremendous created things. The greatest, most tremendous of the created things, and what was around them. He's saying, وَجَمِيعَ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ فِي الْيَقَظَةِ. And everything within the heavens whilst he was awake. Shaykh Al-Fawzan said, this is a refutation of those who say that it was a dream. And if it had been a dream, the disbelievers would not have denied it. Because dreams are not denied. Rather, they denied that it happened whilst he was awake. He referred to the disbelievers of Quraysh the next morning, as we'll follow inshaAllah, that they, when he informed them about it, they denied what he had said. They mocked and they denied it. And the Shaykh Wazan said here, as he said before, if it had just been a dream, there's no scope for anyone to deny a dream. You can go anywhere in a dream. There's no way for them to deny that. Which itself is a proof that it happened whilst awake. That's why they denied it. And he said, and Allah the Majestic and Most High says, Asra bi abdihi. But the ayah from the first ayah from Surah Al-Isra again with the explanation, he took his abd, he took his servant on a journey. Shaykh Fawzan said, and al-abd, this word al-abd, the servant, is a term for the soul and the body together. In a person, a servant of Allah, that term when he's described as servant of Allah means it's the person in his body and his soul, it's both together. So the soul alone is not called abd, servant, and the body alone without a soul is not called abd, servant. So it is not called a servant unless it is a body and a soul together. He's saying, حَمَلَهُ جِبْرِيلُ عَلَى الْبُرَاقِ. Jibreel carried him upon al-Buraq. Shaykh Al-Fawzan said al-Buraq was an animal. He's saying, وَفُرِدَتْ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَوَاتُ الْخَمْسُ تِلْكَ اللَّيْلَةِ. And the five daily prayers were made obligatory upon him that night. Shaykh Al-Fawzan said, this is a proof for the tremendousness of these five daily prayers. And that they, it's a proof of the tremendousness of these five daily prayers, that they were made obligatory upon the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in heaven, between him and Allah, without any intermediary, as opposed to the rest of the revealed laws, for they came down to the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whilst he was upon the earth, by means of Jibreel alayhi salam. So this shows the tremendous importance of these five daily prayers with Allah the Mighty and Majestic. And the time of the night journey was before the Hijrah, the migration, before the migration to Al-Madinah. And he prayed the five daily prayers in Mecca alayhi salatu wa salam. In the five daily prayers were made obligatory whilst he was still in Mecca. He prayed them and then performed the migration. He said, he's saying, وَرَجَعَ إِلَى مَكَّةَ لَيْلَتِهِ وَذَلِكَ قَبْلًا هِجْرًا وَرَجَعَ إِلَى مَكَّةَ لَيْلَتَهُ وَذَلِكَ قَبْلًا هِجْرًا. And he returned to Mecca on that night. And that was before the Hijrah, before the migration. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and he returned to Mecca on that same night. And therefore the disbelievers, they found it something very unlikely. And they became overjoyed at this event, so that they could belittle the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and ridicule him and mock him. So Allah the Majestic and Most High rebutted their plot and attested to the truthfulness of his Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and sent down some Quran with regard to that. That's where Shaykh al-Fawzan ends explanation of this point. Briefly, as a side point here, there's a narration that Shaykh al-Albani authenticates, hadith Shaykh al-Albani authenticates in As-Sahihah as number 306, that describes what happens the next morning after the night journey, and how the disbelievers of Mecca, how they reacted. So it's the hadith that Al-Hakim reported in his Mustadrak, volume 3, page 62, from Aisha radiallahu anha, that she said, when Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taken on the night journey to Al-Aqsa Mosque, he entered the morning telling the people about that. So some people who had believed in him and affirmed his truthfulness turned apostate. And they hastened with that news to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and said, what do you think of your companion? He claims he was taken on a night journey this night to Jerusalem. So he said, did he say that? They said, yes. He said, if he said that, then he has spoken the truth. They said, will you believe him when he said that he went to Jerusalem last night and came back before he entered the morning? He said, yes. I believe him in something which is even harder than that. I believe him with regard to reports which come all the way from heaven, which come down in a single morning or a single evening. So therefore he became known as As-Siddiq, the truthful one who attested to the truth. And the reason why Abu Bakr became known as As-Siddiq, the truthful one who attested to the truth, radiallahu anhu. And Shaykh al-Albani authenticated this hadith to his supports in As-Sahihah, as we said, hadith number 306. As for the explanation, before continuing to the next point, as for the explanation of Shaykh Ahmad al-Najmi, rahimahullah, then he said on this point, to have iman that the Messenger of Allah, his chest was split open, and the portion of Satan was taken out, and it was filled with iman, true faith, and wisdom, and he was taken on a night journey by Jibreel upon al-Buraq, whose step is as far as it could see, and he reached Jerusalem, and the prophets were gathered for him, and he led them in prayer as their imam. Then Jibreel took him up to the lowest heaven and requested that it be opened, and each heaven was opened for him. And in the first heaven that he found Adam, and in the second heaven Yahya and Isa, and in the third heaven Yusuf, and in the fourth heaven Harun, and in the fifth heaven Idris, and in the sixth heaven Ibrahim, and in the seventh Musa, and in one narration the other way around, with regard to Ibrahim and Musa, meaning Musa in the sixth and then Ibrahim in the seventh. And that Jibreel took him up to Sidratul Muntaha, to the farthest low tree. Then he took him up to a place where he could hear the scratching of pens, and he heard the speech of his Lord, the Mighty and Majestic, when the five daily prayers were made obligatory upon him. So then he went back to Musa and informed him. So he said, go back to your Lord and ask him for a reduction. And finally, I mean this happened a number of times, and finally his Lord said to him, they are five, and they are 50 meaning in reward. There are 5 and there are 50. The saying will not be altered with me. And in the footnote, the Shaykh said, it's agreed upon. You can find this narration, the mentions and details, reported by Al-Bukhari, as hadith 3342, and Muslim, as hadith 163, and the narration of Abu Dharr, radiallahu anhu. Then the Shaykh said, explain that hadith, meaning 5 in performance, in that 5 with regard to their performance, and 50 with regard to the reward, and each good deed has a reward of 10 times over. And that he entered paradise, and he saw in it domes or mounds made of pearl, and other than that from the events which occur in the Isra and the Mi'raj. And this was a matter of extra virtue bestowed upon him, granted specifically by Allah to his Prophet and to the last of his messengers, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. No one else shared with him in it. And he entered the next morning in Mecca. And when he informed Quraysh of what had happened, they denied him. They rejected what he had said. Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, said, وَمَا جَعَلْنَا الرُّؤْيَا الَّتِي أَرَيْنَاكَ إِلَّا فِتْنَةً لِلنَّاسِ وَالشَّجَرَةَ الْمَلْعُونَ فِي الْقُرْآنِ وَنُخَوِّفُهُمْ فَمَا يَزِيدُهُمْ إِلَّا طُغْيَانًا كَبِيرًا. Surah Al-Isra, 17th Surah, Ayah 60. For the explanation, and we did not make that which we showed to you except as a trial for the people. And the accursed tree mentioned in the Quran, and we cause them to fear, but it does not increase them except in great transgression. Then Sheikh Ahmad said, Rahimahullah, he said, as for the saying of the author, حَمَلَهُ جِبْرِيلُ عَلَى الْبُرَاقِ حَتَّى أَدَارَهُ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ, that Jibreel took him upon Al-Buraq until he took him through the heavens, took him around, literally, the heavens. Sheikh Ahmad said, هَذَا فِيهِ نَظَرٌ, this is a matter requiring inspection, meaning something doubtful. In the fact that he was taken out of Al-Buraq up through the heavens. He said, since he did not carry him upon Al-Buraq except when he took him to Jerusalem. And what's correct is that from Al-Buraq, he travelled upon Al-Buraq from Mecca to Jerusalem only. Then Al-Buraq was left in Jerusalem. Then he was taken by Jibreel up through the heavens. As the Shaykh said, as for his ascending from Jerusalem to the heavens, then what is apparent is that it was upon the Mi'raj, the heavenly stairway, and not upon Al-Buraq, as was said by the author, may Allah have mercy upon him. And success is granted by Allah. As for the next point, point number 69, then Imam Al-Babrahari said, وَأْلَمْ أَنَّ أَرْوَاحَ الشُّهَدَ وَأَلَمْ أَنَّ أَرْوَاحَ الشُّهَدَاءِ فِي حَوَاصِلِ طَيْرٍ خُضْرٍ تَسْرَحُ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَتَأْوِي إِلَى قَنَادِيلَ تَحْتَ الْأَرْشِ وَأَرْوَاحَ الْفُجَّارِ وَالْكُفَّارِ فِي بِئْرِ بَرْهُوتٍ وَهِيَ فِي سِجِّينٍ. He said, Imam al-Barrahari, rahmahullah, said, and know that the souls of the martyrs are within the bellies of green birds which roam freely in paradise, and they return for shelter to lamps beneath the throne. And the souls of the wicked and the disbelievers are in the well of Barahut and are in Sijjin. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, he said, his saying, وَأَلَمْ أَنَّ أَرْوَاحَ الشُّهَدَاءِ فِي حَوَاصِلِ طَيْرٍ خُدْرٍ تَسْرَحُ فِي الْجَنَّةِ, and you should know that the souls of the martyrs are within the bellies of green birds which roam freely in paradise. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, for the ruh, the soul, by means of which a person lives, and moves and grasps things by his senses. It is a secret matter from the secrets of Allah, the Majestic and Most High. No one knows it except Allah. Meaning, no one knows its true reality except Allah, the Majestic and Most High. He, the Most High, said, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Surah Al-Isra, the 17th Surah, Ayah 85. The explanation, and they ask you about Ar-Ruh, the soul. Say, the soul is from the private affairs of my Lord, and you have not been given of knowledge except a little. Shaykh Fawzan said, upon the basis that what is meant by the Ruh here is that by which a person lives, a person and an animal, and the rest of the things possessing souls. I mean, that's one explanation of the ayah, that what's referred to here in the ayah with regard to the Ruh is the soul, the human soul, the soul of the human, or whatever has a soul. He said, or it is otherwise said, that what is meant by Ar-Ruh, and what's meant here by Ar-Ruh, is a type of the angels. And Allah knows best. The second explanation, what's been referred to here, is the Ruh, that is a type of the angels. You'll find the like of that in Surah Naba, the 78th Surah, Ayah 38. يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الرُّوحُ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ صَفَّى. The explanation, meaning the day when the Ruh and the angels will stand in rows. Allahu Akbar. In other words, there's two explanations of what's meant here by Ar-Ruh. Either it's the well-known Ruh, the soul, which causes a person to be alive when he has it, when it's there in his body, and he's alive, and moves, and so on and so forth, or that it's a special category of angels. Allahu Akbar. Then Shaykh Fawzan, he continued, and the Ruh, in the language, the Arabic language, is a term which is used to refer to that by means of which the possessors of souls live. In that which one who has a soul, if he has this thing, the Ruh, then he's alive and he moves and so on. In the soul. He said, because life, al-hayat, life is of two categories. Hayatu haraka, a life which involves activity, movement, animate life. And this occurs with those things possessing souls, animate life, life of animalism and the like. And the second is hayatu numu, life involving just growth, something like plant life or the like, not just plant life, but life that merely involves something growing and growing. So this, the second kind, is what occurs in trees and plants. In a footnote, they mention, and for with regard to the different types of life, you can refer to Zad al-Ma'ad of Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, volume 5, page 755. And then Shaykh Fawzan said, and from them, meaning from the types of life, is the life of the embryo in the womb of its mother, before the soul is breathed into it. And that is the second type. It's the second type. So the embryo just grows and grows and grows. He said, but when the soul is breathed into it, then it becomes animate life, a life of movement. As for before that, then it is just the Ruh, the spirit, which is of growth, the life of growth. He said, and the rhetorical finishing, and the rhetorical theologians, and the philosophers are in confusion about the true reality of the soul. And they are unable to comprehend it. And they stumbled and made many mistakes, and were unable to comprehend it. That's where Shaykh Fawzan, hafidhullah, he ends explanation of this point. Then, finally, with regard to some side points and additional explanation from Shaykh Ahmad and al-Najmi rahimahullah, then he said on this point, he's saying you should know that the souls of the martyrs are in the bellies of green birds. They roam around freely in paradise. And they return to lamps beneath the throne. He said this occurs, Shaykh Ahmad said this occurs within a hadith reported by Muslims. You'll find it there as hadith 1887. He said, and the author referred it back with that number, 1887. And it is the aqidah, the creed and belief of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. He said, as for his saying though, that the souls of the wicked and the disbelievers are within the well of Barahut, and they are in Sijjin, then I say, as for the well of Barahut, then it is a well to the east of Aden, of this place in southern Yemen. It is to the east of Aden, between it and between Hadramaut. And the saying that the souls of the wicked and the disbelievers are gathered in it, there is no authentic proof for this. No authentic proof for this point. However, it occurs in a narration whose chain of narration contains a majhul, a person who is unknown, being reported from Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhuma, as was mentioned by the one doing the footnotes. Sheikh Ahmad said, I say, and what is correct, is that which Allah the Mighty and Majestic informed of in his book, in Surah Al-Mutaffifin, Kalla inna kitab al-fujjari lafi sijjin. Surah Al-Mutaffifin, Ayah 7. With regard to the wicked with explanation, rather the book of the wicked, the wicked, their souls will be in Sijjin. And then he said, Shaykh Ahmad said, and the word As-Sijjin is an intensive form from As-Sijjin, restriction. This word, obviously, the word to mean a prison, As-Sijjin. He said it's an intensive form of the word As-Sijjin, which means restriction. And it is a tight or restricted place. And it, Sijjin, this tight and very restricted place, is in the lowest depth of the earth, as was said by the people of knowledge. We ask Allah for safety and security from it. And we seek Allah's refuge from His anger and from His painful punishment. And Allah grants success. Then before finishing, also Sheikh Salih al-Suhaimi, Hafidhullah, he said in his explanation, likewise the souls of the believers in general, and at this point mentioned the souls of the martyrs, in a specific group of the believers, the martyrs. So Sheikh Suhaimi mentioned this, and then he added to it and said, and likewise the souls of the believers in general. There occurs in the hadith that the soul of the believer will be a bird which will come and go in paradise. The souls of the martyrs, it occurs that they will be within the bellies of green birds which go and come and go in paradise. And the souls of the believers in general, it is established also in the Sahih that they will be birds which come and go in paradise. And this is from the proofs for the bliss of the grave, for the soul enjoys bliss just as the body enjoys bliss. And then he said, and as for the matter of the souls of the disbelievers, that they will be in the well of Barahut, then the Shaykh said, Shaykh As-Suhaimi, Hafidhullah, he said, this is not authentic. Souls of the disbelievers being in the well of Barahut, this is not authentic. And it is a well in Hadramaut. And it occurs in some reports which are brought by the scholars of Tafsir, and perhaps they are reports from the Banu Israel, people of the book, which we do not affirm and we do not deny. But however, this is not established, nothing is established on this. And then finally, just the hadith that the Shaykh is referring to there, Shaykh As-Suhaimi, Hafidhullah, that's the saying of Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّمَا نَسْمَةُ الْمُؤْمِنِ طَائِرٌ يَعْلَقُ فِي شَجَرِ الْجَنَّةِ حتى يبعثه الله إلى جسده يوم يبعثه. The saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the soul of the believer will be a bird which will eat from the trees of paradise until Allah resurrects it, returning it to its body on the day when he resurrects it. This hadith was declared sahih, authentic by Shaykh al-Albani in Sahih al-Jami' and as-Sahiha number 995, being reported by Imam Malik in his Muwatta, Imam Ahmad and Nasa'i ibn Majah and others from a hadith of Ka'ab ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. والحمد لله وصلى الله على محمد سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت